Just so a few nights ago, the Lord laid the scripture on my heart, and I just want to kind of pray it over us. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck it three times and stopped. And then the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck it five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. And so I just pray, Father, that even today, God, that we would just hear your voice in saying, "Take a bow, take an arrow, open up a window, Lord, and let us shoot and let us trust that your hand is upon us, Lord. And we will not stop it three times, God. But I pray that we would just continue to strike the ground, Lord, as many times as it takes, God, to see deliverance, Lord, that we wouldn't stop when it got uncomfortable, Father, but that we would continue to strike the ground until we've seen breakthrough, until we've seen deliverance in every area of our life, Lord. And God, let us just trust that the arrow will hit the mark. We will not stop until the arrow hits the mark, Lord. We just trust that your hand is upon us, Father. And we pray that you give us the grace and the mercy and the strength, God, and even just the perseverance, Lord, to just continue to strike the ground, even beyond fear, Lord, even beyond being tired and weary. We continue to strike the ground, believing that we will see deliverance, God, believing that we will see you prevail and bring us into a victorious way. In Jesus' name.
That's fine, I'll do it. When we were worshiping, and I was just coming in, and you know how sometimes it takes a little bit to get into the throne room, and I really encountered the war room instead of the throne room. And it's like, whoa, I've never done that before. I've never felt that I was going before the war room. And I'm going, what are you saying? What are you doing? What's your word? What are you saying? And so you got this word that we're to strike and continue to strike until we have seen deliverance, until we have seen the Lord prevail. And I just believe that in doing that, he will send the angels out. So don't stop declaring. Don't stop making the declarations and praying and hitting this area with the word, hitting the president with the word, hitting our nation with the word, and prevailing with Israel and what God is doing. He's given us direction with that word on what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to stop until we see the deliverance from this virus, Lord. And so, Father, right now, I just want to declare that your word said, strike the ground. And so we're going to strike the ground. I say we will be delivered from the evil of this coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. We will be delivered from this evil of coronavirus. And all the principalities and all of the things that are trying to destroy our nation, we will be delivered spoken and you have given the word. Strike the ground with the word of God. Strike the ground. Strike the ground with the prevailing word that the prophet spoke, that this thing would go by April 8th, that this thing will be done. We stand with our president that this thing will be done by April 8th. We call it forth. We strike the ground with that arrow. We strike the ground with that arrow. We say the president is going to have two terms. We strike the ground with that arrow. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You've given us direction this morning. Thank you, Lord. We've got to listen into the war room, what you're doing. We will declare your word. We will declare what the prophets have said that you've said. We will declare that word, Lord. We will declare that it is the blood of the Lamb that will cause this thing to pass over us. We declare that it is the blood of the Lamb. And so today, Lord, today we take communion. We take this bread. You said it's your body. And I agree, we don't understand, but we take this. It is your body. It was broken for us to bring healing, deliverance, to call us your own. And so we take this bread and we say, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brought forth the bread from the earth. And we say, take this in remembrance of me. Then we take the cup. I had to take a little bit because it's dry. Then we take the cup and we bless it. And we say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brought forth the fruit from the vine. You said, this cup is my blood. It is the cup of covenant for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you meet, do it in remembrance of me. Drink. Lord, it is this cup. It is this body that we partake of. And you said, as often as we do this, do it in remembrance of us. We are in covenant with you, Lord. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. And we commit again to this covenant in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I wanted to introduce a couple subjects today, and and then we're just going to, I'm going to open this up so we can, different people can share, and so if you do have something to share, make sure you use the mic so that it all gets recorded. And one of the first things that has been predominant for me through this this very unique situation that our whole nation, the whole world's in, is that there has been a Sabbath rest created through what the enemy has meant to be evil. And we believe with all of our hearts that the Lord's at work to cause all things to work together for his ultimate plan. So just as everything the enemy throws out, he turns it into an amazing victory, like Satan killing the Son of God. That in the end didn't work out very good for him, because it then brought all of us, enabled all of us to come into the supernatural eternal life that is promised to us. through Jesus, through his death, resurrection, etc. And so the other morning in my time with the Lord, I was sitting and meditating on this, and I'm aware of this principle that during a rest, a Sabbath rest, that creativity gets awakened. And when we truly enter into the rest, then it enables this other thing happens. I've experienced this on a few of my longer fasts. I began to, I couldn't wait till I could get outside and do something again. I couldn't wait for the days to come. And my life turned from being overwhelmed with everyday life and different things and work and worries to anticipating the release to come into being fruitful again. And so I've believed that, and I've heard that from different places, that it is a rest. It's a rest. The Lord, and I've heard it from even secular people. I heard this comment from a comedian. I didn't know his name, but he was on Fox News being interviewed, and he wasn't being funny. He was being very serious. He said, this thing caused all of us to get off of the treadmill of life. Now, I know there are people that are working their fingers and lives to the bone trying to go through things because they're really on task and called to service. And but for many of us, though, it's a rest. Things are shut down. Even if you still have to go to work, all the extracurricular activity is shut down. And I remember one of the first messages that I gave in this church, our church, what it was in the very early days, back in Pattersonville, I didn't want to preach, but I did have times I was supposed to share, just as one of the young leaders, and I would turn my guitar upside down, lay it on my lap, and use the back of my guitar for a podium, and I began, and I remember I entered into a whole new type of teaching. So from my background up to that point, something began at that point, and it's kind of it's the way and the mode of operation that I share out of is this sharing. And I remember sharing early on the Sabbath rest of God, what it meant, and I got this simple revelation that if you have an oil lamp and you put the oil lamp to rest, it has seasons of rest so that it can burn. And what is it that you do? You kind of take it apart, you unscrew it, you definitely blow the fire out for a minute, and you put it in this position where it's in a season of being what? Filled. That's what a rest is. And even in our culture, we don't rest well. We never rest. We go on vacation and stress ourselves out. It is. It's so true. We need to really go. We don't rest well. And it's one of the most basic principles and commandments of the Lord that we enter into his rest. It's a big deal. Israel actually got in a lot of trouble from him just because they didn't rest. That is an oxymoron, but that's God. That's how important it was. He's like, you're wired to rest. I'm going to illustrate this to you. Even God rests on the Sabbath. He ceases his labor in creation. And so there's a lot of elements to this resting. How do you rest properly? And a lot of the ways that we rest are not good rest. We're not refreshed at the end of it. We've entered into a whole nother thing. So I know it's really important to be stirred up and be activated in the Spirit. If you don't pay attention to that, you can go into a season like this and become dead and dry, but that's really not the intention. So one of the things I want to sit and talk about is how do you stir up the gift in you? What do we do to stay alive, to feed that flame, the fire in us, so that we don't grow cold? And I'll use sometimes my prayer language as an indicator. Have you ever done that? If you're just watching television, I usually don't find myself praying in the spirit. You know, I'm watching Blue Bloods or something. I'm just, you know, doing whatever, disengaging from life. But then if I watch a true worship video, a video where, and they're very edifying, Bethel or whoever else is doing a worship video, and you're watching a session where they're truly worshiping, I start praying in the spirit, like not on purpose, you just do, it comes. Or for some people, the word or teaching or something. But there are things that we do stir us up, or even being truly quiet with the Lord where we shut out everything else. And it's a big deal. It's a goal to be filled with the fullness. And if we do that, we become this whole different person. Like, there's a whole different dynamic. And I'll share this one scripture with you, and then I'm going to ask some of you to share about this, about how do you get stirred up? How do you use a rest to get refreshed, opposed to just getting stir crazy, bored, whatever? And I ran across this verse in the Passion Translation, Ephesians 1:23. It says, "And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it." And Brian Simmons writes something. I never saw this verse before. I never took notice of it. And he writes in his notes, "We are those who are filled or completed by Christ." We talk about that all the time. We teach that. Like, yeah, we all agree. "We also complete or fill him." That's what we don't realize. Like, we are that which is being filled, who is being filled by it, by the Lord, gets filled by us in return. That's how valuable we are. Like, he fills us, but we complete him by filling him up, like by giving him ourselves. In a rest and in a time, you're giving back to the Lord, like you're opening yourself up to truly be filled by him. But that does something for him. You have something to offer. Like, it matters that there's this reciprocal filling him back up. So I want to open up a discussion, like, what do you do that actually energizes you in the spirit? What have you found that you do? How do you do that? Because in this season, that's probably my big concern for our church, our people. I have one group that I'm focused on, like our people. And it's like, okay, we're not having meetings where there's a fellowship shut down quite a bit. And how are we going to stay filled? This is the test. What will we look like at the end of several weeks? I'm expecting this to at least go till Easter. What will we look like? Will we be energized and anticipating, and will we be ready to go and supercharge? Or will we be empty and waning and lose our heart to fellowship? I mean, that's the fear. What happens if you disengage? Will what we've built still be there? Jesus said this, will there still be faith on the earth? You're like, well, yeah, Jesus, of course there will be. He's like, there will be if there will be, but there may not be. It's not automatic. And what is this thing? Like, we can't keep it going, and yet there are things that there is a principle here to stir up the gifts that are within you. How do you stir up the gifts? If you don't stir them up, they do recede. Like, it doesn't go away, but it does recede, and you find yourself just in the heaviness, in the worry of the day, in the, you know, whatever happens. What do we do in this season that will keep that activated and alive? So, Cindy Vincent's on Phyllis's phone on FaceTime. She gets privileges. Oh, put the mic to her.
She has a revelation.
Yeah, put a mic. Turn your volume up.
Can,
and
can,
on your phone. Just hold the phone for.
Okay. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Okay. So there were two things that stuck out to me this morning. And the first one was Matthew 24 verses.
Oh gosh. I don't know, but you're upside down. That's what's wrong. Hang on, Cindy. Technical difficulties.
This is right up here.
Okay. You're good. Okay. Anyways, the speaker's up there is all I was saying. Try again.
Go ahead.
Okay, there were two things.
There, that's
so better. In Matthew 24 verses, I think it starts at 32, it's the parable of the fig tree. It says, now learn the lesson from the parable of the fig tree. When spring arrives and it sends out its tender branches and sprouts leaves, you know that ripe fruit is soon to appear. So it will be with you, for when you observe all these things taking place, you will know that he is near, even at the door. And I assure you, the end of this age will not come until all I've spoken comes to pass. The earth and sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purposes. So I just saw that as such a message of hope in these current days. But here's the other thing. In Mark, it talks about, it's Mark 5, and it's about when, it says, when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. Where Brian Simmons, gives notes on that. And he talks about the cloak or the outer garment, and that as a Jewish man, Jesus would have had over his shoulder a prayer shawl. And the blue tassel on the corner of the prayer shawl was said to symbolize all the commandments and promises of God. And the Hebrew word for fringe or border of a garment can also mean wing. And some have interpreted Malachi 4:2, healing in his wings, as a reference to the tassels of the prayer shawl. Well, in the hospital where Jo Ellen's at, they refer to wings. And that is, they are opening up more and more wings to accommodate this. So I texted her this morning and said, these wings are signs of God's healing and God's promises. And it's coming in the word with the wings.
Good word. Good word.
Amen. I know usually like the stuff that we know, like praying in the spirit, worship, reading your word, like those have all seemed to have worked for me great in seasons past. But it's been very difficult lately. And what I didn't, maybe, and this is just for me personally, and I've always valued relationship, but to a new degree, like have this great value for relationships in the Lord, because what has really helped me was, I mean, just being able to call, you know, a brother up and, you know, even if he's kind of struggling in the same things, like being able to just talk these things out and just having that fellowship. And that's actually stirred me up quite a bit more, because like you're saying, even going to pray in the spirit, you know, you're the first few utterances, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. You know, like you just, it's like, man, that just fell right to the floor right there. So it's been difficult to like really press in and to engage. And maybe just the season Jenna and I are in, maybe with the baby plus all this other stuff, it's been different. And so staying connected that way, I think, even if it's like us reaching out to other people that we might not even usually connect with on a Sunday morning, or throughout our work week, like really being intentional, like, Lord, who is it that I could call and interact with today, lay somebody
huge
on my heart,
yeah.
You know, and Kurt started that text message group, like that's been super encouraging for me, seeing some of the guys that maybe I don't get to talk to a lot, sharing some things that are like, man, that's really good. I'm glad that we're a part of this thread, but even just making myself more available, for people to reach out to me, and also like allowing the Lord to lay people on my heart that I could just call and start a conversation about the Lord or whatever, like finding out where people are really at, you know, because, I mean, I haven't been in a super great place. And being okay to be, like, transparent and vulnerable about that, but extending beyond, you know, maybe just the usual people that I would talk to get stirred up and be encouraged.
Yep, it is very empowering. Who else? Kenny, you want to share some things?
That's a good question. It's kind of been what was on my heart about still coming together and encouraging, especially our people that we are connected with on, you know, at church and everything. And I've been finding, this has been, I shared a little bit just this morning with Kevin and Rick, but in our house, it's almost like the Father is breaking this down to each couples, you know, to each individual in the body. And at one point, as I'm worshiping at home, I'm thinking of different couples. Boy, I would love to invite them and have them join in to experience, maybe birth something, like maybe encourage them. But yet the Lord is not, he's kind of stopped it. It's almost like he's wanting to do this, like speaking to the hearts, like who's going to come, who's going to step forward, who's going to choose to want to fill their lamp, you know? And I felt like that, like the Lord's not as a punishment. But who wants to step forward? And so a few things that has been created, I feel like with me and Cheryl at home, is we've never done this, but we begin to open up worshiping at night, and it's gone for an hour, hasn't it? And that's awesome. It's I love it. It's been a lot better than Fox News the whole time, you know, and you know how much I really enjoy watching Fox News. But I'm feeling like the Lord is breaking things down. And so this other place that me and Cheryl were just reading together, and she was reading out of John 4. I'm going to read that. Is that okay?
Yep. Yeah, you should. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
In John 4, not sure exactly my revelation in this, other than the fact that what the Lord spoke to me at that moment. So, Cheryl actually had a couple things that really, and maybe she'll share it, the revelation she got from it. But I'll read it out of the Passion, starting with verse 31. The harvest is ready. Then the disciples began to insist that Jesus eat some of the food they brought back from the village, saying, "Teacher, you must eat something." But Jesus told them, "Don't worry about me. I have eaten a meal you don't know about." Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss among themselves, "Did someone already bring him food? Where did he get this meal?" Then Jesus spoke up and said, My food is to be doing the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion. As the crowds merged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time, for their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a spiritual harvest. And anyone who reaps these souls for eternal life will receive a reward. And those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the harvest will celebrate together with great joy." And this confirms the saying, "One sows the seed and another reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to harvest a field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you, and now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest." So I'm going to, Cheryl, will you share what the Rev, she'll do a better job of sharing.
If this is accurate or not, but this is how the message. So in the meantime, the disciples said, Rabbi, eat. Aren't you going to eat? You know, we're always saying to Margie, aren't you going to eat? You know,
yeah.
Or my parents, are you going to eat? Are you eating enough? And he said, I have food to eat you know nothing about. And that's the big, right now, everybody's hoarding, going to the grocery stores, buying a bunch of stuff, you know. He says, and the disciples were puzzled. He said, who could have bought him food, you know? They're like, who could have bought my parents or who could have bought Margie food, you know? Jesus said, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. He said, as you look around not right now, you wouldn't say that in about 4 months, and that's what they're saying on Fox News, 4 months. I was like, whoa. I mean, hopefully this is done by Passover, but they're saying it could take up to 4 months. He says, as you look around, wouldn't you say in about 4 months it'll be time for harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. And I was like, wow. Because they said, like, John, it took about 4 months. And I'm wondering if it's the Lord is doing a harvest time. You know, we have said the harvest is coming. I said to Kenny, like, yesterday I was at Margie's, and all of a sudden I got this hot flash. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to go outside. So I just put my feet out on the wet ground. It felt so good. And this time of the year, I just love hearing the birds because we haven't heard hear them sing.
Yeah.
And I thought, they were just chirping away at each other. You know, they were just talking mm-hmm. away. And,
yeah.
and then you'd hear another sound over here. Mm-hmm. Then you'd hear another one over here. And I started laughing. It was like, I never to that degree for myself has seen or heard or thought about, I should say, what the birds do. And I thought, how much more the Father who created, he hears these guys chattering over here and chattering over there, and they're praising him. And I just feel like he's hearing us praise him in this time of rest, in this time of just rest and worship. And I said to Kenny, we need to, I'd like to find out what him and I can do just to, what's our part, you know? And I have to have this on. I mean, this is nothing big, but we felt like we should give some money to the food harvest thing in Slaneville. And yesterday they were having a food drive, but I know they're doing a special drive for Easter. So him and I drove down because we knew they were doing a food drive, so we just donated a little bit of money. And as we were going down the one street, which I haven't been down in through town on the side streets in a while. I usually go down the main street, and
yes.
it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But a couple streets up, I said, wow, these streets need some attention, you know. Potholes and whatnot, and it just opened more a compassion or an empathy, maybe, I don't know, the time of harvest for this area, for our school district, for just, I know we always, for some reason, we all kind of navigate or go towards more Slaneville, maybe because that's the heart of our school district, maybe. And I think for us, our eyes are open a little more, maybe. I know we hear about it after a while, your ears kind of become dull to it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, year after year, you know, we know this area needs attention. We know this area has strongholds or whatever. But for us, I think, I said the other day, I'm kind of excited to, I think because we are so close-knit as a family, as a church, I think once we come back, we'll be like, hey, yay, you know, we'll be so excited to see one another. I don't anticipate the, I don't know, maybe I'm La La Land, but I'm thinking, hey, you know, we missed you, you know, kind of family kind of thing. And yeah, and really appreciate what we do have here as a family, what we do have here as a church, as our church family or whatever. So
there was something too you had said about how much the Father loved. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, for another time. Anyways, but yeah, I just feel like breaking it down that the Lord, so this was something that I felt the Lord was saying, that he is definitely breaking this down. There's something that he's doing. He's moving in this time of in the individuals for each one of us to, like the word's been coming forth, get our oil lamps filled. There's a lot of this going on, and I believe we can't, there's nothing we can do to stop the harvest from coming. Yeah, I mean, I we can't comprehend what that even looks like, because I feel like in the past we have tried to create that and do it in our own strengths, and the Lord's is really shutting down, and there is nothing that can happen through us. We're not even able to go out to witness, but when it comes, what is more important about the fact of going out and bringing them in is that we are ready to be able to have our lamps full of oil. And that is a big thing. And so for me, I just, as I keep worshiping at night, and as Cheryl and I are connecting with doing this in unity in our household and everything, and just the word is coming forth and all that stuff, and I think of the families that I'm hoping that are getting, families that represent our church, I pray over that as I'm worshiping, so that they get connected, so that when the harvest comes, that we're not delayed in what the Lord is wanting to do and move.
So I think this is it's a great opportunity for us to, Kevin has said it, and Kenny, you're saying it again, to develop relationships. And, man, you feel, you know, one of the things you can do is just pay attention to what you get an unction to do. And if you get an unction to call someone, do it. Don't let your reasoning talk you out of it. And this should be life, and hopefully we've slowed down enough that we're paying attention to the unctions in our hearts. And if we'll all just do those things, whether, you know, Kenny, Cheryl just saying they went, gave a small amount of money to this thing, like, so they were in a position where they could, the key to that was hearing and feeling an unction to go do it. And so that's precious, and the Lord will, everything will be taken care of if we would follow the unction in our hearts. Whether it's just call someone, it's to do something that you might be nervous about. And again, this is where that thing comes into play about creativity is awakened in a rest. And when you get quiet enough and you truly take the lid off and just to get filled, then the Lord can fill you with direction so that you're not just doing things out of desperation, but you're, whatever you do out of this unction, this desire, this, you know, following after. And so I was thinking then, Phyllis, did you have something to share on that?
Keep going.
So I was just thinking about the release of creativity. And there, I want to put it all together. Like, we, dreams, inspiration, being creative, whatever falls in, I don't want to be specific about it, but more general, anything that falls into that realm of something comes alive in you. And there's a vision itself. Like, it's important to get to a place where you can see. The Lord wants us to see things. And so when you see, you get inspired, like you feel good. It's like you're like, wow, this is good. I want to do this. I want to start this. I want to go here, go there. And I was thinking about some of the enemies to that. And the enemies to it are sometimes you're really excited about something. You feel led to do something. And there are a lot of it, you just need to do it. And then there are times when you look at the limitations and you immediately get depressed about it, disheartened about it, because you don't feel there's the people or the resources or the whatever to do it. And that's a real enemy to this. And to keep our eyes on Jesus, like number one, what he gives us, hold it dear and let it incubate in your heart. Sometimes you share it too early, it'll get destroyed just by normal people's reaction to your desires and your dreams. So I think there's a real value to guarding over them carefully for a period of time. And let the Lord confirm, but the best confirmations from the Lord are the ones where you just keep quiet about it and you let him confirm it. Because you can ask, you know, some of the most supportive people in your life, someone can ask me something and you don't want my fleshly answer, good, bad, or indifferent. You don't want that. When these things are precious to your heart, you want the Lord to answer you and to use whoever and whatever. And if you wait on it, he'll confirm things to you. And he'll let it be known, like he'll add to that. And then don't get discouraged about it's impossible, that'll never happen, I could never do that. Like you think about something and you talk yourself right back out of it. And I just think we need to guard our dreams, our visions, our inspirations. Like these are leadings. And sometimes the only way to know if it's God is to just wait to see if it's God, because they all look the same. And they can look so much the same. Only the Lord can really reveal. And so I'm just believing that in this season, people are getting inspirations and revelations and vision. And then, so when you do, guard it. Some of the deepest depressions I've gotten and been into or been in, the depression happens because there was an inspiration first and it got swatted down, or it seemed impossible. I contemplated the negatives and now I'm disheartened. I wish I'd never had the dream in the first place. I'd never had the revelation or the inspiration or whatever in the first place. So I just felt it's a time. We're in a season where these things can be awakened, and so when they are, guard over them. Be careful about them.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I find for me in this time, there's a rest and a fight all at the same time with going over and taking care of mom in the midst of this coronavirus, where you've got to watch the older people. I've had to fight the good fight of faith so that, you know, I have people even sometimes making comments, you know, oh, should you guys, a group of you, be going over there? And it just leaves you with a feeling, you know, are we doing the right thing when it comes to mom? And I've had to really fight and declare the blood of the Lamb in Psalms 91. And it's not a little thing when you know that you could infect an older person. And so I've just had to stand in this place. A few times mom's head would get a little stuffed and I'd be like, oh God, you know. And I wanted to call Karen or somebody and say, well, you know. And the Lord said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. You stand. And so I thought, nope. I'm going to stand. I'd share a little bit with Rick and say, no, I've got to stand, that the blood of the Lamb will be her protection and will be our protection. And so there's been a fight. In the meantime, I feel a real call back even more so to the Word. And I've been out of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and have been in John and the epistles and Psalms and different things, but the Lord called me to Luke, and I am having a ball with the Word and Jesus and listening to Him and revelation opening up. And it's been a real, for me, it's been a real time of filling and fighting, filling and fighting and standing in this place. So for, you know, I spend the different times with the worship when we're as a group up here, but this has been a quiet time for me to just be in the Scripture, be in the Word, and it has helped a lot. It has helped. And the other thing I've noticed is all of the people that are connecting that don't usually connect, that are talking to each other on texting and encouraging each other. And I've connected with different ones that I usually don't connect with, you know, maybe high and by, and that's about it. And so I thought, Lord, you're so good with connecting us in the midst of this. You're bringing us closer, you know, as we have to stay distant, you're actually bringing us closer because we need one another. Like you said, we need each other for the encouragement, for the just to be able to stay sane in the midst of this. It's been good. So I felt too, Kenny, that it was a time of, and Rick, of filling my lamp up with oil, but also taking the sword on and going, no, I will not sit and let you beat me up. I will fight, you know. So I just, it's been a good thing. And this word about the wings of the hospital, it's a good word, yeah, for those that are out there to just declare that the Lord is protecting them, mm-hmm, in under His wings.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the different things that everybody is getting is just sweet. It's just sweet. It's like we're in a good time. We really are. We're in a good time. No matter where we're at in this, we're in a good place. And the Lord is at work.
Yeah. Anybody else? So I want to read a few verses out of Isaiah 40 and go back to this this mandate the Lord gave me to comfort people. And I would just encourage everybody to take that up. And it just ministers so much when you realize, and you can say this with all confidence, this is the heart of God for every person, everyone. Like, no matter what they're in, no matter where they are, the Lord wants us comforted. And listen to the language of this as He gives this to Isaiah to tell His people. Your God says to you, comfort, comfort my people with gentle, compassionate words. Speak tenderly from the heart to revive those in Jerusalem, and proclaim that their warfare is over. Her debt of sin is paid for, and she will not be treated as guilty. Prophesy to her that she has received from the Lord, the hand of Yahweh, twice as many blessings as all her sins. A thunderous voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way for Yahweh's arrival. Make a highway straight through the desert for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain brought low. The rugged terrain will become level ground, and the rough places a plain. Then Yahweh's radiant glory will be unveiled, and all humanity will experience it together. Believe it, for Yahweh, the Lord, has spoken His decree. So, whatever, we're just going to close in prayer, and I just wanted to declare these things, that whatever people are, whatever you may be worried about, be comforted. Whether it's your finances, the debt, whether it's the future paychecks, whether it's provision in other ways. Believe that the Lord wants you comforted in this. He will take care of it. And in the meanwhile, as you wait for his provision, he wants you to receive comfort. He wants everyone to be encouraged and not to despair. He will make a way through the wilderness. He will make the rugged places plain. He'll make a path before you. And I just declare that the Lord is going to also open up doors for people that cannot see the way out, can't see right now how you're going to get from here to there. But the Lord will make a way. And you just stand here with confidence and hear and just look at the evidence. This is the heart of God given to the prophet and a mandate to speak these words to his people. So the Lord mandates every minister of the gospel, every person that speaks for him, he mandates us to comfort one another and to comfort people in their despair, in any darkness ahead or any uncertainty ahead, that he will make a way. And we really, as believers, have access to this. There's nothing that you can do that disqualifies you as you yield your heart and submit and subject yourself to him. And he wants to fill us with the fullness. Again, that just keeps getting repeated and repeated in scriptures. Lord, I know you want to fill us. You want to fill every person. You want to stir us up. So give us wisdom about how to get filled so that we unscrew the lid and just let all that you have for us pour in. Your provision, your grace. There are people that need your love and have your love poured out on them. And Father, we are in these places of life as normal has shut down and stopped, that you pour your love out on every person. I ask that you strengthen everything that is weak. And Lord, I just pray this promise at the end of Isaiah 40, that you ask, don't you know, haven't you been listening? Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God, the creator of all you can see and imagine. He never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited. He is never puzzled over what to do. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall, but those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. And that is the definition of resting in the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is an activity of entwining yourself, your heart with his heart, will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. So I just declare this for our people, for every person listening, that we will be encouraged, that we will know help is on the way, and that you have every intention of refreshing us, every intention on infusing strength, renewing our strength, every intention of putting that healing balm over our exhaustion, our weariness, our worries, our cares, and refreshing us with hope and your promises and your direction, your words of comfort. And we just thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.